This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I am joined by a first-timer, Kieran.
Ooh, go easy on me, please.
Welcome to Checkpoint Intimates. Excited, scared, horrified?
All of the above?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's all it takes, really.
Yeah, I'm sweating. I'm sweating, literally sweating. So, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it. So let's, you know, do it to it of sorts.
I won't be too rough, I promise.
Yay.
So this week on the show, we're talking about branching narrative games. So these are the kind of games that allow you to make a choice, sometimes a moral dilemma, and that will affect, I mean, potentially gameplay or just potentially story that moves forward. So there's a whole slew of games that come under this category. Obviously, narrative adventure games, stuff like the Telltale series, Life is Strange, all those kind of games. But also just RPGs in general often will allow you to make choices which might make small or major,
endings and impacts further on down the track. So exactly. Your emotional investment with certain characters will either broaden or shrink depending on the choices you've made. So yeah, in that sense, I love those parts of the choices in gaming.
Yeah. So we wanted to cover this topic, talk about the ways it's done right, the ways it's done wrong, like how this actually impacts games and whether it's a good thing and how much of this we're going to see in the future. So the reason we got onto this topic is because we were talking about Life is Strange Before the Storm, which is an upcoming game, obviously part of the Life is Strange
series.
Yeah, exactly. The second game as part of the series, but not made by the same developer.
No, exactly. Oddly enough. Right. No, well, it's going to be an interesting kind of game. It's got the same kind of art style, so I'm looking forward to it, but I don't know how it's going to play into the whole choices and narrative option, because with the original, you had the ability to, stop time, reverse it, and make a different choice, whereas Chloe this time around doesn't have that ability. Well, I don't know if she does or not.
We don't know exactly, because I mean the game's coming out in only about a week.
Yeah, August 31st is when the first one comes out.
But we still don't know that much about it.
No. And,
but it is a good topic as far as branching narrative, because that game is all about choices, or at least the first one. Because as you were saying, you can rewind and make different decisions and see the outcomes of all of those decisions. And so unlike most games where you play through it and you might see the differences when you reach the end, you don't see it as the journey progresses.
No.
But in Life is Strange, you absolutely do, especially if you play it in the way you told me you played it.
Yes, well, I like being that perfectionist kind of gamer, so I always made sure that my first choice when I played it was the one that stuck, but I always rewound time 3 or 4 times to see what my other options were anyway, just to see how people would react, how they treat you, and go, well, okay, so that sounds fun and interesting, but no, I got to go with my gut for the first time around. You want to play it and keep it as faithful to your choices as you would, but it's always great to see what other options you have, and I love that fact where I could have, gone down a different tangent, and that would have happened to change the story somewhat. So I love that option, but it came to a head in one of the chapters where you couldn't change a series of events. The choices you made in the first chapter and the second chapter played a role in the third chapter's ending. You couldn't change it at all. So you had to hope, that the choices made impacted well enough that you could save a certain character. Thankfully, I did, but had I gone down a darker and less, caring path, they would have died. And that would have really hurt, because I liked the character who I helped save, because it had an emotional tie on me in terms of suicide themes. So for me, I felt really gratified that I did the right thing, that I saved this person. So choices in that sense meant a lot.
Yeah, and I also played the game, and I also came to that same ending as you did as far as saving the character at that kind of midway point in the game. And it was awesome. I'm not the kind of guy that would go back and replay it to try to get the perfect ending, because I can't be bothered doing that. But yeah, it's like, it's one of those games where truly the decisions you make had an impact.
Yes.
But having said that, like, I also want to talk about the negative side of that, which is that in a game like Life is Strange, despite the fact that there are different endings and this character can die or survive, really the difference that makes to the game is pretty fleeting. Like, it changes the narrative as far as good versus bad, but it doesn't alter any gameplay. The narrative isn't really branching in a sense, because it's not like you're not witnessing certain things that you wouldn't otherwise have.
Well, no, you're right there. Even in, argument's sake, Life is Strange, there is a set narrative you must follow. There are certain points where you can play a bigger role in it, but as far as the story goes, you will play certain points and you will have to play them. You just have to play them in a different mindset, I suppose. So if you have played Life is Strange, there are only two endings, spoiler alert, but your choices will kind of impact the ending and the way in which those two final endings play out in the end anyway. So there is choice, but there isn't choice. You've only got so much to work within those constraints.
Yeah. As far as I know, there's only two sections of the game where you see the consequences of your choice.
Yes.
Right? There's the very final decision, and then there is that earlier decision where a character may live or they might may die. And that's kind of it.
Yes.
And as far as those types of games, like, I love Life is Strange. I don't want to sound bitter, but as far as I see it, it's almost like fake choice. Like, you see the outcome of your choices, but it's not. There's no comparison to real life where the branching narrative it would be infinite.
No.
Because these games are so finite in that they look like they're branching, but then they come back to the same spot regardless. Yes.
No, it's true. Well, for argument's sake, in Life is Strange, where if you choose to save the town, you basically let your best friend die. There are a few ways in which you can end that scene with her. So, depending on how you've played, you may say goodbye as a friend, you may say goodbye as a lover, you may just, you know, let it go, say bye girl. That's it. That part of it kind of will play on how your choices have been made and how the ending plays out that way. So, but there's still only two endings regardless of the choices you made. There are still only two that you can go with,
but the way you approach that ending is different.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah. Which I think it that does, like, hold a lot of weight. Like, it does matter the way you interact with people and the relationships you've built up until that point. So, in a sense, you're right. Like, even though there are two endings specifically, the ways in which you approach that is vastly different.
Yeah, it's all up. I think it's all thanks to the choice of it, though. The fact that because I've invested so much time and energy making sure that my answers or that my interactions were perfect, that I've got to let go of this person. So I've invested my time and my emotional energy into this. It's in that sense, the choices is what's made it a great game for me. So even though it's a finite ending, it had to end one of two ways. Both ways made me cry. I loved how you could either choose to end it all, or, you know, it's like that argument of saving either one family member in a burning building or saving five strangers. It was that Sophie's Choice moment where I had to make up my mind, and it hurt both ways.
Yeah, which is like a real, like, attribute to their storytelling ability. So obviously me and you are very looking forward to Life is Strange Before the Storm.
I am.
But it's not the only game we want to talk about.
No,
as far as branching narrative.
No, well, there are other games like a lot of the Telltale games, you know, Walking Dead,
Wolf Among Us. I mean, there's so many. I've only played those first two, though.
Yes, I've played a bit of The Walking Dead. I've not played Wolf Among Us. It is on my two playlist. But Walking Dead is another one. I think Walking Dead for me was a little bit less choice-based, because I did play it a few times around, because it was an optional game where you could choose and save different people. But in both sets of endings, it was, again, more, this is the final point. There is no coming back. In The Walking Dead 2, you had more options and you had two branching endings. In The Walking Dead 1, you only had one.
It all came back, regardless of what choices you made.
So, for me, I think the choices part, it becomes important when you feel like it's going to affect the game experience overall, not the ending. So, that's why, I think in those games where choices come into it, it's not as important about shaping the ending. It's about shaping the story that's being told.
Yeah.
So, what are your takes on that, though? Like, do you feel the same way, or...?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, I think having these scripted endings, like, let's take a Mass Effect game, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, you get to the end of those games, and you might have the good ending, you might have the bad ending, you might have the neutral ending.
Yes.
And in reality, just having three endings, but yet the gameplay leading up to that point has been identical regardless. I don't know. It doesn't have that much impact on me. At that point, I feel not that invested in the story, regardless of what happens, because I know when the sequel comes out or the next game in the franchise, it'll take the good ending, and that'll be like, no matter what your choices were, like, this is canonical. This is how the story is moving forward.
But at the same time, for argument's sake, say a game like Mass Effect or Dragon Age, where if you have played the previous games, you can port over your saved history, and having a personal stake in those past two games or those past three games, you have more of a stake in it all. I got into the Dragon Age series late in gaming life, shall we say. I didn't play one, I played two. I didn't play Origins. And after playing Dragon Age Inquisition, I realized how much I enjoyed three because I played through two, because my choices in two and creating, you know, my hero and seeing him in game three was like, oh my god. I get to fanboy again and go, oh, I created the perfect man and he's come back. And I like creating attractive characters. But I love the fact that this character had come back as well, because I'd, you know, grown accustomed to playing with them for like a good month and a half or a good 2 months, because the Dragon Age games, you take a lot of time to play and play through well. So to then have both lore, history, and old characters returning from said games to the next game, it's like a class reunion or a summer camp reunion of sorts, where everyone's coming back, the gang's getting back together, so my choices have played a positive role in their inclusion in the next game.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Like, as soon as you get that kind of personal investment, you want to see that character return and all the choices you've made, because you want it to be impactful and meaningful. But a lot of that is, like, your own personal, like, interpretation. You are assigning meaning to the choices you've made more than maybe what it's showcased within the game.
Well, like, even in, like, okay, Inquisition, like, the romancing options you have there, there are quite a few, and there are really cool ones, but they don't have an impact on the game, like, in terms of, it's basically, again, an emotional response that you're getting from this game. You're not getting a reward for creating a romantic relationship with, say, Iron Bull, because in the end, you still only have those three endings. Iron Bull's relationship and romance with him will not play a role in the ending per se, just in the experience throughout the game up until the
journey to get there.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And it reminds me of Until Dawn, actually, which is another, like, I absolutely love Until Dawn.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, the choices you make and whether or not certain characters die, the only implication of that is whether those characters are dead or not at the end, right? Like, there's nothing else has changed. And in fact, there are certain sequences that I found later that were so scripted that you could do everything wrong and that character still wouldn't have died in that sequence. So it's really, like, I don't know, it's disheartening in a way that it feels like so much of the choices and the outcomes are, they're made for you.
Well, even, again, Until Dawn, again, I played that. I loved that game. It is probably one of my favorite kind of scary games, or horror games, as we say. But it played like a scary movie, and
yeah, it was like a slasher film, in a game.
It was the game I've been waiting for so long, because it was like, I've watched so many slasher films that this game was just perfect for me. And I love the fact that I could decide who lived and who died. And yes, you could play the dumb blonde stereotype running up the stairs after the door was, you know, left wide open instead of just running out. But you wanted to play that just to see how it would play out in the end. And yes, there were certain characters. There's only two, technically, that you could get all the way to the end. You can still kill them off. You can still end up...
Yeah, you can still lose the game completely.
But those two would survive up until the end regardless. So there was always going to be a final chapter. You can't actually accidentally kill every single character off by chapter four. You will get to the final chapter before accidentally killing them. But then again, you want that extended game, I suppose, so they won't let you all die then, because what's the point? You won't get the full experience. Whereas I think I liked that with that kind of game, it allowed you to either play those silly tropes, so there's those, you know, dead character mistakes. You know, you see it and you play and go, well, should we split up or should we stick together? Let's stick together. We'll live. Instead of let's split up and let's all die.
You can definitely make the decisions that a terrible person within a movie would make, like a terrible character would make these decisions, and suddenly your character dies because of it. And it's like, yes, I mean, that kind of makes sense.
You kind of deserve to die. Let's face it. If you decided to, you know, explore the basement after hearing that creepy sound with no torch and no gun, wow, well, what did you expect? Of course you're going to die. So, you know, that was a choice.
The games for me that I think do choice the best, they do it unapologetically, as far as, like, they're not trying to pretend like there's these grandiose changes throughout the gameplay. Like, Until Dawn, for me, pretended choices made more of a difference than they actually did, right? Like, that game played up the butterfly effect.
They did,
to no end.
Oh, yes.
And yet the butterfly effect, really, I mean, what difference did it make?
None in the end.
There are games like, I'm thinking in my mind, stuff like Undertale and even more recently Prey, where it's like just your general choices throughout the game will have this impact as far as the end of the game.
So
Undertale might, Undertale was really clever in the way it did it, so you could passively engage with enemies and essentially flee from them without killing them, or you could kill them all. And by the end of the game, that changes your friendships with people and how the whole thing wraps up and concludes. So you can have this good ending where you've done everything right and you've gone through this area without harming anybody, or you can be the bad guy. And that was nice, like, for Undertale to acknowledge different playstyles and say, you know, this person did it this way, this person did it this way, and because of that, like, characters will treat you differently, or it'll be seen differently by the end of the game.
So kind of like how Infamous plays a bit. You can make the good choices or you can make the bad choices, and in doing so, that changes how people perceive you in the game. And
yes,
you can certainly play up that villainous hero, the chaotic good, as opposed to the lawful good options.
But what's nice about it is it exactly like that. It feels more like Dungeons and Dragons, where it's like these subtle things. It's not like you'll ever approach a narrative beat in the game where it's like, do you make option A or do you take option B? Like, it doesn't do that to you, right? Everything, the choices you're making are through gameplay.
Yes.
It's through these natural flowing things, rather than like a BioShock Infinite where it's like, do you throw the thing at the people on the stage or do you not?
Like, a stop start option, like choice A, B, or C, which do you pick?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Because those things often feel like they're going to turn into these grandiose, like, branching narratives, but they don't, because it all ends up converging back into this nice, like, round bundle.
And it's hard. I will admit, even in certain choice games like that, where it takes a break and asks you these questions, I'm like, ooh, my phone's right there. I could just check and see what happens if I choose this option. But no, you want to try and keep it authentic. So, I suppose those ones where it's more natural, where it just plays through smoothly, where it doesn't stop you and ask you, do you want to make the right choice or not, is better. It does feel like you're actually playing a game more authentically when you just make the choice then and there.
Exactly. And I think, to games like The Walking Dead and the Telltale franchise or series of games, to their credit, they do this really cool thing where by the end of the game, it shows you all the choices you've made and the percentage of people who've made that choices as well.
Even in Life is Strange, they showed you that as well. It's like, did you take the moral choices that everyone else did, or did you go the psychopath's way and actually kill everyone off instead? You know what? It's interesting to see, huh? So this is where everyone else stands on these subjects. So
yeah, and even if by the end, like, there might be only two endings to the game, it's still cool to see that your choices were calculated and like, this is like you're a unique person. Like, nobody else made these specific choices. Like, that's a cool thing.
I like how it makes you think too, because it's like, huh, okay, well, I know this person pretty well and they made this choice whereas I made that. Huh. I wonder why they did that. And you want to kind of look into why it is you made that choice. I like a game like that. That's what I loved about those parts of the game, where at the end you saw your story progress more, because with those games, they were episodic. So you wouldn't, unless you bought it in one fell swoop at the end after all episodes have been released, you wouldn't think back on the choices you made in the first episode or two. Yeah,
and then, but you get to relive it and remember it.
Yes.
There was a game called Oxenfree that came out last year that was one of my favorite games of the year. Like, it was fantastic, and it did that exact same thing, and it showed you all the choices you've made and what implication that has.
Mm.
And Oxenfree was really good about it because by the end, like, two characters might be in a relationship they otherwise weren't in, or like this character might still be fighting with another character. Like it just changes your relationship.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's a small thing, but it's a meaningful thing. And I think, and David Cage's games do that as well. So stuff like Beyond Two Souls and Heavy Rain and Fahrenheit, like, they all have these kind of choice options that end up changing things only slightly, but by the end, like, you can see the difference.
Well, like, there's a game coming up soon. I think it's called Detroit Being Human, or becoming
Detroit Become Human.
Become Human. Yes. Sorry, but yes, I'm kind of keeping my eye on it because it looks like that kind of game where it gives you those options, the choices you make, the actions you do, and all that will affect how you play. And even I think there's a permadeath option in this game as well. So if you die with one android, say, That android is gone. You can't pick that person back up. You have to start with a new character. That's what they're kind of aiming for. So I'm looking forward to that. But I don't know, and I think we've argued this before, does this have, in the end, any real impact on the game's final ending?
Exactly. Because that's exactly what Detroit Become Human is selling itself on. Like, you watch a trailer and it'll zoom out and show all these, like, branching narrative paths that you could have picked.
Yes.
And in my mind, I'm like, oh, that would be cool if it was real. But, like, how real is it? Or is it just a fallacy where it's like they're pretending like that's happening, but in reality, behind the scenes, like, it's all coming together to one very narrative thing.
Are they standing and delivering on these options and offers or not?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got. We've been talking about branching narrative and choices within video games. Mm-hmm. Kieran, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for taking it easy on me my first time.
You were very good for its first time, huh?
I'm a natural, aren't I?
So you've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. My name is Elliot, and we will join you next week for another episode.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.